Today's question is about contracts, and I'm actually running a little bit thin in the backlog, so if you see this before I run out of questions, feel free to submit them via DM if you're in a community with me, or you can comment on a YouTube video if that's where you're seeing this. Happy to answer questions that you have. This one has been in the backlog for a bit, and it is: the client didn't sign my contract that I sent them. They sent me theirs instead. What should I do? And I think the context here, I'm not sure what size of client we're talking about, but we're talking about a freelancer with what I assume is a stock contract, maybe one from like LegalZoom or something. If memory serves, there's nothing particularly exotic going on here. So the idea is the freelancer goes off on their own, hangs out their shingle, starts doing work, and says, hey, I should probably have a contract, goes out and gets one template, maybe customizes it, I'm not sure. And then this is like their contract for doing work with clients. And so against that backdrop, I'm not sure if this person has done client work before, but against that backdrop, the client says, oh, no, you're going to sign my contract instead. So for what it's worth, I'll put this up on YouTube. I have talked about contracts before and whether I think you need them or not. We will get to that here. But I kind of first want to answer the question, and you can extrapolate this to yourself if you're watching. If you are a freelancer that isn't presiding over a significant business, you just have a freelance practice and you're working with clients in sort of ad hoc fashion, you know, maybe one or two clients at a time or even a few more potentially. But in general, in this situation, what I would recommend doing is probably just sign their contract. If you are so inclined, you can go through their contract and mark up anything you find objectionable. You can do what's called a strike, which means you just cross things out. That's probably the easiest. So if you see terms in there that you don't want to agree to, like in a contract or agreement, they might say something like, you can't do work for any of their competitors or something. If you don't want to agree to that, you can just go through and delete that. And if you're doing track changes, it'll create a strike and you can send that back over. That's fairly common. I've done this over the years. I've actually even done this in employment contracts. You go in and basically you're not really looking to get into it with their lawyer. You're just looking for anything that really concerns you. And you can go through and mark up the contract and send it back. And you don't need to be a lawyer if they're the ones that are you know, looking to define the contractual situation. They're the ones that are going to incur legal costs. You don't need to lawyer their lawyer. This is something I do even to this day, is just to say like, look, I can read contracts well enough to know what I will and won't agree to. I won't agree to this. However your lawyer wants to phrase it, you know, I'm sure they'll come up with something amenable to everybody, but I won't sign it like this, and then put the work back on them for those changes. So it's going to be one of those two things, almost certainly, unless you really don't like want the business. I guess you could stick to your guns and say, no, either you sign my contract or we don't work together. It's pretty rare for a freelancer, especially doing custom app dev, to be in a position of that kind of leverage. The business has to be pretty marginal if this is the hill you're going to die on. So I would say most likely you just sign it. If you really see something objectionable in there, you can try to negotiate the contract. But if the hiring process for the freelance work that you're doing is sort of commodified, there's almost certainly like three other people they'll just reach out to that will sign their contract. So you don't have a lot of leverage here. In general, in this situation, there are three things that can happen that I can conceive of. If you, and let me back up, if not the situation where they refuse, but like you have a contract and you get in the habit of saying, hey client, we're going to do business together, here is my contract. The least likely by far is that the client says, okay, and signs your contract. That will almost never happen to you. If you're doing custom app dev, I might go out on a limb and say it will never happen to you. I'll get into this more in a moment, but I mean, maybe if you were selling some kind of custom app dev to an individual, like a B2C kind of thing for some reason, or it was just a new business owner for a really small scope of work and the business owner were really inexperienced, maybe they would sign your contract. The next most likely scenario, but still extremely unlikely, is that the client takes your contract and marks it up and then signs it or agrees to sign the marked up version if you approve of it. Again, this is also quite unlikely if they're legally savvy enough to do that. then they probably have a contract that they want you to sign. The overwhelming likelihood is that any client in the situation is going to do exactly what this one did, and they are going to send you the contract they have. And the reason for this is most freelancers are doing 1099 contractor work for a client, and anybody, just like you went out and got a template on LegalZoom, the client could also do the same. There are very standard 1099 contractor contracts that you can get. Also master services agreements, like these are fairly stock. And so in a business with any resources at their disposal, whether they're bootstrap funded, if they have been in business for a while, they've probably worked with a lawyer to define and mark up some kind of standard contract for hiring contractors like yourself. And because they have probably paid a lawyer instead of going on LegalZoom the way I would assume most freelancers have, they're going to be even more anchored to that. And they're just more sophisticated. So they're going to have typically more money, more leverage, more experience, more all of the things than you have. So it's pretty unlikely that you're going to send them a contract and they're going to say, oh, I see, freelancer doing 1099 work, you have a contract. Let's just do, instead of what we would normally do, let's do it your way. That's just so super unlikely. In terms of, I guess, what we're talking about in this relationship, the chances that these small likelihoods do shape up would depend on maybe the size of the client. So I was alluding to this before, but if you, you know, let's say you're doing really small website builds for like a pizza parlor or something, maybe they would agree to that. So they have never contracted custom web development before. Maybe they just have a handful of employees and they don't actually even have any contractors. They don't have a contractor agreement. And you say to them, hey, you know, I'll build a website for you. Here is my standard contract. Maybe a really small business might do something like that if they're pretty inexperienced at hiring somebody to do what you do. That's the only thing that I can think of. Any business that is more than quite small is going to have better and more established legal resources and practices than you do. So yeah, I mean, if they're tiny, maybe. The other factor there is going to be the scope of the work. So I mentioned like a small website build for a pizza parlor. That's about the limit of scope of work that somebody's just going to agree to your terms. Most likely, most freelancers doing custom app dev are going to be doing open-ended work for months or even years at a time. The scope of that work is vague and it's large in terms of finances. Client isn't going to give you six or seven figures worth of money on your terms and not their terms. There's just no way that's going to happen. So my point here is, in order for the situation that you're describing here, them to sign your contract, they'd have to be really small, inexperienced, and contracting you to do a pretty limited, well-defined scope of work. If all of those things are true, maybe. So if you, you know, started a business that was like doing a little bit of customization to a Shopify store or a WordPress website for like $1,500 a pop, then maybe if you had some kind of like essentially not even contract, but like terms of service type agreement, like they would get for signing up for a SaaS, then maybe they'll sign something like that. Outside of all those things being true, it's super unlikely. I can't picture it. So I guess, in thinking through like how to give a holistic answer to this too, like my message here would kind of be like, I don't even know what you're hoping to accomplish with this contract. So what is it you're looking to get out of this contract that you're hoping clients will sign? Is the idea to scare them into compliance with some sort of agreement, like payment terms or something like that? So basically, here's my contract. It states that I have to be paid within 5 days or something. And the hope is that by sending them this contract, they will read it and say, oh, there's a contract here. I have to do this. If that's the case, again, really small, inexperienced clients might go for that. But there is a lot of, I guess, real politic to this situation. So let's say that, I was the signing authority for a business that was doing 50 or 100 million a year in revenue. Pretty significant business, lots of employees, et cetera. And I were bringing you on as a 1099 contractor to do a little bit of work on, you know, cleaning up some API that we had. And you send me a contract that says I have to pay you within 5 days and I don't care enough to bother disagreeing. So let's suspend all disbelief here and say that I sign your contract. Now let's further say that 5 days go by and I we don't pay you. What are you going to do exactly? The contract isn't a magic spell. You can't force us to pay you. Are you going to take us to court? Are you going to threaten us? Because neither one of those things from a freelancer would be particularly worrisome for an organization of the scale I just described. They wouldn't even blink at it. And what's more is, even if you tried to sue them, you would be bankrupt before you even got into court with them because of attorney's fees and such. So they know full well that your contract and whatever is in it is not going to really threaten them or cause them to do anything, that you just don't have that leverage, signed piece of paper notwithstanding. In order to enforce that signed piece of paper, you would have to get them into some kind of adjudication, and that would bankrupt you. So they know that full well. They know there's no way that any court will ever wind up enforcing the contract that you've created. It simply would never happen. So, I mean, scaring them into compliance likely wouldn't work. I don't know who that would work on. Probably even the pizza parlor would know better than that. You know, so there is the element of CYA for a contract. So maybe you're not looking to, like, enforce anything on them. It's just to, like, indemnify yourself against lawsuits or something. And that's real. That's rational. But again, in terms of, like, game theorying this out, it wouldn't ever be relevant. And the reason is, as a freelancer, you are running what is probably a zero or close to zero profit business. Your business, your practice has no assets. It is what is known as judgment proof. So again, casting me in the role of the signer for this $50 or $100 million business, casting you in the role of a freelancer who I'm like your second client ever, and I'm paying you $80 an hour to help with an API. I would never bother to sue you because there's no money in that. Like, you, if you had an LLC, which you should, then there would be no coming after your personal assets. So it would just be whatever your business is worth, which is almost certainly $0 and 0 cents. So there would be nothing to come after contractually. Thus, your contract isn't really saving you from anything. If, on the other hand, you are operating as a sole proprietor, then maybe you would want this kind of indemnification. But what you ought to do instead of a contract is go form an LLC so I can't come after your personal assets. But as a business, you know, even if you're worth, like, I don't know, $75,000, my business would have to be pretty hard up, and I'd have to be a pretty horrible human being to, like, come after your college savings for your kids and your car and stuff because you did something wrong on the website with the API. So all of this is to say that your contract isn't really doing much for you here. So, I mean, it's not going to scare the company into agreeing with your terms or complying with them. It's not going to cause them to behave any differently. It's not really going to indemnify you against much of anything in a practical sense. So I'm not really sure what you're hoping to accomplish with the contract exactly. The only thing I can really think of that it might establish is, depending on the terms in the contract, if it's something that you've done a lot, so you've done a lot of website setups, you might have language in there that's specific to the terms of how you usually help clients. And then your contract could actually be a form of sales collateral, in the sense that here's my standard contract, I can describe the terms in it, here's why they exist, makes you look like you knew what you're doing. So I think in terms of, like, legal operations, finance, the contract's pretty much useless. The only use it might have for you is to make you look better during sales. It's the only, like, legitimate use I can think of it. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else that you might do in there. I mean, I guess the other thing I would say is, depending on what's in your contract, it could possibly surface things to discuss to set expectations. So if you're saying, you know, I'm building this code base and I'm going to retain ownership of any source code that I use in building you your website, the customer, the client's lawyers would almost certainly come back and be like, absolutely not, we're not agreeing to that. So if you hope for that to happen, the contract could surface issues up front that you could discuss. So I guess maybe that's another benefit to it. But honestly, it's hard for me to imagine this going well for you. The fact of the matter is, the paper that this is signed on is almost certainly going to be defined by which one of you is more established in what you're doing. And for custom work of this nature, it is pretty much always going to be the client. So I would tentatively suggest, I mean, this is not legal advice, I'm not a lawyer, but if I were in your position, I wouldn't really even bother having a contract. There's not a lot of upside to it. You're probably going to wind up potentially looking a little bit silly if you're just giving them something you got off of LegalZoom. They're going to insist on their own thing anyway. It's going to happen time and again. So I just really, I don't see a lot of upside here. So to circle back all the way to the, you know, piece of advice or the question and the advice I would have, it is just look for anything in there that you really can't abide and strike that, but probably just sign their contract. And here's the thing, most businesses that have a 1099 contract or agreement, they are not looking to have that agreement with you in order to really force you to do much of anything or to sue you. It's really kind of indemnification against certain problems that they might have with the tax authority, with the Department of Labor, et cetera. And here's what I mean. A lot of them will have a standard 1099 agreement that says, or that has language in it to the effect of, you are not an employee and you acknowledge that. They are not going to tell you how to do X, Y, and Z and you acknowledge that. All of that is in there to get the IRS and the Department of Labor off their back. It's the sort of like gig laws that California has. It's, you know, the IRS not wanting you misclassified as a contractor when you're an employee. The company is really interested in furnishing that agreement to you for things like that, to prevent you from suing them if you come on site and slip and fall, to prevent you from later claiming that you were an employee and they withheld benefits. They're really looking to protect themselves against bigger fish that you might enlist to file like wrongful claims against them. It's not going to have a lot to do with the terms of your work and stuff. So if you were going to try to have a contract of your own, it would probably need to include a lot of that language that you don't care about that would indemnify them against you coming after them for misclassification as a contractor, for certain kinds of insurance and legal provisions that you could like sue them if you get hurt, and so on and so forth. So that's another thing to understand as well. If you were going to get them to agree to something, you would probably have to take a standard 1099 agreement and just tweak it to your taste, but have it covering all the stuff that they're looking to cover in terms of their bases. But again, all that's really complicated, and I don't know why, if I were you, I would bother with any of that, because it's just going to be a slight variant on whatever they're going to send you anyway. And even if you do all that and you do all that indemnification and it looks a lot like their agreement, half the time or more, their legal is just going to say, I don't care what it looks like, sign our agreement or you don't have a gig. So this is really just not the hill I would die on. You can later get to a point in business where you are doing things a good bit differently with contracts. Like, so for instance, if it's common for clients to want to send hit subscribe, 1099 contractor agreement, and we have a bunch of language that says effectively, if you send us this and we start working with this, here are all the things we're going to strike and here's why. We are not going to agree to get written notification for subcontracting at work. Our model is to subcontract work. So we have a standard set of things that we do. We also have an alternate client agreement that was prepared by a lawyer to strip out a lot of the stuff that isn't applicable in a 1099 because of the structure of our business, and to serve as kind of a stock, you know, hey, we have paper together kind of thing. Sometimes clients will sign that. But the thing is, I don't even know at this point, like how many such engagements we've done. It's gonna be in the hundreds now where we've had these relationships. As a freelancer, you're not gonna have that repeatability. You're probably not gonna have 100 clients over the course of your career, let alone a short period of time. But even if you did, they're probably not gonna be all so similar in terms of the scope and nature of the relationship. So in a freelance world, that doesn't make sense. If you start delivering a productized service or you grow and you become you know, a more established agency and you have legal resources on hand, that's when you can get into this world that you're talking about. But for now, the clients are just gonna look at your contract and say like, yeah, whatever, that's nice. Anyway, sign this or you don't have a gig. So hopefully that helps. That's probably not the answer you were hoping for, I guess. But yeah, I wouldn't worry about this type of stuff. Just sign the client contract, strike anything onerous out of there, and that is how I would approach it. So yeah, hopefully that helps, and I will catch you all next time.